Book of Proverbs. This will be our last sermon out of the book of Proverbs this morning. I've really enjoyed sharing this series with you. This is our fifth sermon out of the book of Proverbs, and we will wrap it up today. And I hope I have stirred some of you to read Proverbs more, and the wisdom that's there and all of the understanding that God gave us through Solomon, that we might understand and fulfill the word in the ways of God. And I just want to encourage you this morning. The title of our sermon this morning is Living a Full and Blessed Life. And how many of you this morning would say, Pastor, I'm living a full, blessed life? Stick them up there. Don't be ashamed or afraid of it. Are you living a full, blessed life? Well, I have been for 48 years. Since I met Jesus when I was 18 years old, I've been living a full, blessed life. And we're going to talk about that this morning from Proverbs and from God's perspective what it means. And church, you know the difference between religion and Christianity. And the world is full of religion, but it's not full of Christianity. And there is a big, big difference in between religion and between Christianity. And the main difference is religion is embracing doctrines and principles, some truths, some not truths, from man, from organizations. And it's adapting to a set of creeds, our laws, our rules, if you please. And there's really not much life in it. But Christianity is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And out of that personal relationship, he has given us, he has become actually, the Bible said the Word became flesh in the incarnate Christ and dwelt among us. And we know him through new birth, through faith in Jesus Christ. And being born again, we are born into the Spirit of God and into the family of God. We are born into a family of relationships with Jesus Christ as the head of his church. So the difference is that loving, living relationship, not just something to do, something to follow, or laws to follow. Even the Bible, you know, you can legalize this book and the Ten Commandments and the writings of Jesus Christ and the apostles, and you can just keep the word by the letter of the law the best you can. But that's not Christianity. Christianity is a personal relationship with Jesus, first and foremost, and second, it's a relationship with each other as the body of Christ. Awesome relationships. Awesome fellowship. It's the coolest thing. When you really understand how to live the blessed life and enjoy God, your relationship with God, he's not far off. He's not in a book. He's in our hearts. By his Holy Spirit, and we know him daily, we know him by the hour. He is always there. He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll be with you always till the end of the age. So it's a relationship with Jesus, and we have the privilege as sons and daughters of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God now. So we are in that relationship. And it's that relationship and the word that God has given us that we might live that life and understand that relationship as we study the Bible and read the word of God. If you read the Bible like a book, it will not do you much good. And there's some really good stories in the Bible. Some of you know that. There's some pretty cool stories in the Bible. Love stories, poetry, tragedy. There's just all kinds of stories in the Bible. I think some of these soap operas and some of these horror stories, they use text, out of Star Wars and different things. They use Bible terms. But the Word of God is meant, you guys, And I found this out at a very early age in my life, 18 years of age, and I'm 66 today. And that's not my birthday, but I'm 66. I found out that the reason, why do you read your Bible? Why do you read it? Why do you go to church and listen to the Word of God preached and taught? What's the purpose of it? Speak up, I'm hearing you. The purpose is to understand it and live it. That's the purpose of it. So that we may understand God and what God's saying to us, so that we may apply it in a personal way in our lives. To believe it to the point of a blessed life and believing that God is God, that He is God, believing that He is, Hebrews 11:6, and that he is, and that He's a God that as we diligently seek Him, that rewards us and blesses us. So I want to talk to you about the blessed life today and living a full blessed life. And I'm going to tell you something. You can have everything the world has to offer you and still not have a full blessed life. Matter of fact, a lot of movie stars and bigwigs and rich people, they have the most empty, pitiful lives of anybody in the world. Good example in time this morning. Brad Pitt, one of the best looking guys in the world. And Angelina Jolie, just divorced. It's a mess. You hear me what I'm saying this morning? The world without Jesus is a mess. They don't understand the blessed, favored life. They don't understand the truth that floods our minds and our hearts, the Word of God that God has given us, that we might understand these truths, not to have some kind of legal bondage on us or can't do's, but a fullness and a freedom as we live for God and serve God that brings a fulfillment, a contentment, a joy in our life like nothing else can. And the church said, amen. Let me get into the Word this morning. Living a full blessed life. Life is to be lived by the design and the wisdom of God. God set forth in His Word the truth that leads us to blessings, a blessed and a satisfied life. Life has many paths, and a lot of people choose paths. Some absolutely the wrong paths. But because we are created with a free will and choice, you can choose whatever path you want. And many people choose paths that are dark and leading the wrong way, and they're crooked and they end in destruction. But as we choose the path of God, it's a way of blessing. We find the protection of God. We find the fulfilling of our dreams and our visions and our passions in life. It's actually choosing life. And I want to lay out a profile this morning of a person that is living a full blessed life. And we're speaking out of Proverbs this morning. And first of all, a blessed life defined. Proverbs 8:32. So my dear friends, listen carefully. Those who embrace these my ways are most blessed. Proverbs 8:34, bless the man, bless the woman who listens to me. Awake and ready for each morning. Alert and responsive as I start my day's work. Obey the Lord. Proverbs 22:4, be humble and you will get riches, honor, and a long life. Proverbs 24:4, this is the Message Bible. The payoff for humility and the fear of God is plenty, honor, and a satisfied and satisfying life. How many of you honestly could say this morning, Pastor, I'm living a pretty satisfied life? Could we say it this morning? You pretty happy with your life? I'm happy as a hog in the mud this morning. And a hog in the mud is pretty happy. And you know what? I've been that way for pretty much the last 48 years because of my personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's awesome. It's the most wonderful thing. You know, I have a wonderful relationship with my wife. It'll be 48 years in January. And we have a wonderful relationship. But it is nothing compared with my relationship with Jesus. Barb meets a lot of my needs. She's a wonderful wife. But there's a lot of things I need deep inside of me that only Jesus can impart and give to me and help me with. Who I am, what my purpose is. He knows every one of my needs. As Mark said this morning, he knows how thick your wallet is. I mean, he knows everything about you. And he loves you. And his heart is for you and towards you. You know how much you earthly fathers love your kids? Well, if you could multiply that 10 million times, that's how much God loves you. Every one of you, he loves you. And it's through that loving relationship he has given us these truths and these understandings. And if we would read the Bible looking for truth and looking for answers, looking for a lifestyle that God wants us to live and how to operate in our business, how to operate in our finances, how to operate in our marriages, how to operate in our homes. This is what it's all about. It's a living message that's alive with truth and principles and the life of God that God has so freely blessed us with and given to us. A blessed life, what is it? Proverbs 15:24, the path of life leads upward for the prudent. Wise people's lives get better and better. Not worse and worse, but better and better as they seek the Lord. Proverbs 10:6, blessings are piled high on the head of good people. Good people will have a rich and abundant blessings. A blessed life is to know God and experience his love and acceptance, receiving from his hand everything you need for an abundant, complete, overflowing life with joy, peace, fulfillment, and all the blessings of God. That's what it is. A full blessed life in Proverbs is described basically four ways. Number one, it's an honored life. A life that is highly esteemed by God and other people. A life that is highly respected and blessed. And I can honestly tell you, before I became a Christian, I was on a path that was leading me to a lot of dishonor and a lot of disgrace. I'm telling you the truth. But when I accepted Jesus Christ at 18, from that day to this, God has blessed me. And I honor God, God honors me, and a lot of people honor and respect me. You know, that's something to be thankful for. And if you please, it's something to be proud about. Because you have a good name, people respect you, you're a man or a woman of your word, and God has given you favor with people. It's a wonderful thing. Proverbs, listen to the word of the Lord. Length of days are in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Now that's wisdom. Exalt her wisdom, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. Proverbs 8:18, riches and honor are with me, endurable riches and righteousness. And you know, riches, I think we just automatically think about monetary things and material things. But I'm telling you, to be rich in grace, to be rich in love, to be rich in mercy, to be rich in purity. I mean, there's things you can be rich in that's much, much, much more valuable than money. And it's those riches that God brings into all of our lives so abundantly. Paul said, with food and raiment, let us be content. But I want all of these other wonderful, wonderful things that God brings into our lives to make us honorable people. Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction. But he who regards a rebuke will be honored. He who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and honor. Proverbs 21:21. Proverbs 31:25, for you women, the virtuous, godly woman, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. So God's description in Proverbs of a blessed full life is an honorable life, and it's a favored life. A life that receives the mark of God's special grace, kindness, a special advantage for true success that God brings into our lives. Proverbs 3 and 4, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Proverbs 8:35, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Now again, that's wisdom. He who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. You know, how many of you know there's people that seeks evil? And they find bad. They find prison. They find heartache. They find drug addiction. They find bondage. But if we seek the Lord, we find life and we find favor. Proverbs 12:2, a good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions, he will be condemned. Proverbs 16:15, in the light of the king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud of the latter rain. And I like this when we quote it often, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Look over and say, honey, you're a good thing. Come on, man. Honey, you're a good thing. Honey, you're a good thing in my life. Probably the most wonderful thing on earth. And he obtains favor from the Lord. Amen? So, what a blessful life is, an honored life, it's a favored life, and it's a delightful life. How many of you do this happy today? How many of you can just smile today and it's pretty natural? Isn't it wonderful just to be able to smile and laugh? How many of you know that's really, truly, which would you rather see your kids? Would you rather see your kids smiling and laughing and joyful, or would you rather see them sad, crying, and hollering? Well, how about God? When he looks at his kids, he absolutely wants to see joy on our faces. He wants to see a laughter in our mouths. He wants to see a smile on our face. That's the God we serve, and that's the God what he wants for us. And if we go around sad and down, it just tells that we don't have a very good relationship with God. Because if you have a good relationship with your Father, I'll tell you what, you're going to have a lot of joy, you're going to have a lot of smiles, you're going to have a lot of happiness in your life. I wish we could show the video clip from Wednesday night. And the guy was preaching a little message on the camera on changing your attitude and having a good attitude. And they showed this man that goes to Rick Warren's church, and he has no legs and no arms. Never has had. And this guy Oprah Winfrey asked Rick Warren to come on her program, and he said, "There's only one condition I want. I want to bring somebody with me." And I don't remember this guy's name, but Rick Warren brought this little guy with him. He's about that tall. No legs and no arms. He come up to the steps, and there was four of them, and he hopped right up on them steps. He hopped right up on the platform, and he taught the people what it was to have a good attitude in the midst of a very negative situation or circumstance. And his message was, you set the attitude, it's up to you. Don't let the circumstance, don't let the situation, don't let the position you find yourself in. But you can have a good attitude every day if you choose to have a good attitude. Or you can have a rotten, stinking attitude if you want to. It's absolutely up to you. But I'll tell you what, people would much be around honey and sugar and smiling and good than they would down and yucky and nasty and discouraged. Who you want to be around, ugly or good or cute? I'll take the cute any day. You say, Pastor, you're funny this morning. Well, that's okay. We need to laugh. We need to smile. And we need to enjoy our lives to the fullest because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And he absolutely wants us blessed. And he wants us to live a fulfilled life and a blessed life, a delightful life. Proverbs, just a few verses. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. What a promise. Proverbs 3:13, happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. I like this. Proverbs 3:18, she's a tree of life to all of those who take hold of her. Wisdom. And happy are all who retain her. Proverbs 16:20, he who heeds the word wisely will find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Come taste of the Lord and see how good he is. Proverbs 37:4, or Psalms 37:4, excuse me. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And we used to sing this psalm all the time. Your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you, yet I will bless you. While I live, I will lift up my hands in your name. And then fourth, it's an honored life, it's a favored life, it's a delightful life, and it's also a hope-filled life. How many of you know there's a lot of things to steal our hope, rob our vision and our dream that we deal with in this life? A lot of things. But God comes to give us a life filled with dreams, visions, and hope, a desire and an expectation, a belief in the future, fresh life of vitality and strength. Proverbs 10:28, the hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectations of the wicked will perish. Proverbs 13:12, when hope is crushed, or vision or a dream, the heart is crushed. But when a vision comes true, it fills you with joy. Unrelenting disappointment makes the heart sick, but a sudden good break can turn your life around. Message Bible, Proverbs 13:12. Proverbs 28:18, where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the vision and the dream alive. Psalm 71:14, I will hope continually and I will praise you yet more and more. And I like this verse. Psalms 42:5, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Jeremiah, I know your thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Some of you, if you don't change paths, you've got a dark future in front of you. But if you change and go God's way, I can guarantee you, I can promise you, God's got a bright, good future for you. And I encourage you this morning, if you're on the wrong path, if you're not on God's path, you better stop and turn around and take inventory, because you're heading for destruction and a lot of misery and torment in your life. A full, blessed life. It's not automatic. God's desire, it's God's desire and his choice, but really and truly, it's our choice. The full blessed life, it's not automatic and it's not unconditional. It's a partnership between us and God, and between God's goodness and his desire toward us and your alignment to his ways and principles. It involves words like obedience, yield, submit, honor, and follow. Your choice. The full blessed life is rooted in God's grace and goodness. We have the potential to be blessed because God's love and goodness toward us. You can't earn it. That's grace. But we can hinder that grace upon our lives. PowerPoint this morning in closing, I want to share with you 9 points, and I will try to be brief. And many of you said amen. You didn't even get it. Conditions we follow by God's grace and strength. And it's by God's grace and strength. It's not our willpower. It's not just a changed mind, but it's Jesus living in our hearts and lives. And we walking in fellowship and relationship with Him, following God's grace and strength. First of all, respect God and His Word with careful obedience. If you want a blissful life, if you'll apply these 9 points in your life, I'll guarantee you, you'll have a blissful life. Respect God and His Word with careful obedience. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The Bible said because in Proverbs 1, because they hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of God, God just let them believe whatever they wanted to believe. And they were lost and separated from God. I like this one, Proverbs 1:33. Whoever listens to me will dwell safely and be secure without fear of evil. Obedience. The Hebrew word is to hear. Barb, you need to not listen to this. Obedience, the Hebrew word for obey is to hear. It means to hear what a person in authority says and then do what they ask. Hearing obedience, it's one word. To hear is to obey, it's one action. Not hear and think about it, but hear and do it. And Barb often tells me, you're not hearing me. Now what she means, guys, is I'm not obeying her and I'm not doing what it is she wants me to hear. I tell her I'm hearing fine. But it's the obedience and the doing part that I'm struggling with. I think that's hilarious. But it's the truth. You can't hear God's word and not do it. You can hear God's word all day and say, oh, I love the word. Oh, it's so wonderful. Oh, what great truths. But if you don't do them, if you don't obey them, no good. No good. Number two, trust God and commit to His ways. Trust Him with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. He who heeds the word wisely will find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Proverbs 22, 19. So that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you. Proverbs 28. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prosperous. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. But whosoever walks wisely will be delivered. And I don't care what you need to be delivered from today, God's a deliverer. And He loves you, and He will deliver you if you will just trust Him and go the Lord's way. Trust is reliance on the character, the ability, and the strength of God. Absolute reliance. Commit is to give entirely to a person or a cause, to invest all you are in Him. That's total commitment and total trust. Total reliance on the character, the ability, and the strength of God. Three, put integrity first in your life. He who walks with integrity will walk securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known, and not in a good way. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Better is a poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. These are all out of Proverbs. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children will be blessed after him. That's the verse that the Lord gave me for my dad's funeral. Who can find a faithful man? His children would be blessed after him. A A righteous man walks in his integrity, and his children will be blessed after him. Proverbs 28:6, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Integrity, morally sound character that is consistent with the Bible. Good example this morning, a pro golfer by the name of Ray Floyd. He accidentally moved his ball ever so slightly as he was getting ready to tap a routine 9-inch putt in. According to the rule book, he had to take a penalty stroke. If he took that penalty stroke, he lost the top prize of $108,000. No one saw the ball move but Ray. What did he do? He took the penalty. That's integrity. That's integrity. Number four, listen to wise counsel and follow wise counsel. Listen to it. It won't do you any good if you listen and don't follow it. Over the years, Barb and I have done lots and lots and lots of counseling. I can honestly tell you the majority of people do not listen. You believe that? I'm absolutely telling you the truth. A lot of people, before they ever come to you, have their mind made up. And all they want usually is a confirmation to do what it is they think they want to do. A lot of people are not interested in what God says and what God would have them do. They want their way. A lot of pastors I know quit counseling. They don't even do it. They say if you can't receive from the Word of God on Sundays and whenever we preach, there's no use for me to waste my time counseling with you. I didn't say I was that way. I'm not, but some pastors are. They don't counsel. And also because of the liability lawsuits, they don't want to get involved anymore. Counsel. A wise man will hear Proverbs 1:5. A wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Proverbs 1:25, because you disdained all my counsel, and you would have none of my rebuke, you suffered your own way. Proverbs 8:14, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength, speaking of wisdom. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no counsel, people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans go wrong. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Listen to wise counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. You know, it's bad to be dumb, but it's bad to stay dumb. It's bad when you don't grow and learn and understand, when you have every opportunity to do that. For by wise counsel you wage your war, and in the multitude of counselors their safety. And number five, listen to humility, or learn humility and walk in humility. One of the greatest truths in the Word of God, and there are so many benefits that comes with it, is learning to humble yourself and walk in humility. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. The fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. A favorite of mine, Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Humility is free from pride and arrogance, esteeming others better than yourself. Booker T. Washington, the renowned black educator, had just become president of Kuskokee Institute in Alabama. One day he was walking through the rich side of town when a white wealthy woman stopped him and asked him if he would mind chopping some wood for her for money. Instead of being insulted as being mistaken for a menial labor, Professor Washington smiled and agreed. When the woman finally realized who he was, she apologized. His response was, "It's always a delight to do something for a friend." And not long after that, her and her friend donated thousands of dollars to the institution, to the college where he was overseer. And number six, choose to have a generous soul no matter what happens. Be a giver. We've taught you that in this church. Be a generous soul, be a giver. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power or your hand to do so. There is one who scatters, Proverbs 11, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. Seven, choose friends carefully and keep friends wisely. As a pastor of, it'll be 41 years, in January 25th, I'll be pastoring 41 years. And I can tell you this, the uplifting or the downfall of human beings depends on their friends. I'm telling you, I've watched it, I've saw it. You join with the people God wants you to join with. You be with the people God wants you to be with. And I'm talking about people that you develop friendship and relationships with. I'm not talking about people you work with. I'm not talking about people you go to school with. I'm talking about people that you deliberately, intentionally like to be around and want to be around. And my wife told me something one time. I was talking about somebody being around a bad person of influence, and I was murmuring and complaining to Barb about it. And you know what she told me? She said, you don't want that person to be around those negative people, but you know why they want to be around those negative people? Because they're just like them. And sorry to say, birds of a feather flock together. Evil communications corrupt good manners, and evil likes to corrupt evil. But I'm telling you, choose friends carefully and keep friends wisely. How many of you know that the Word of God absolutely positively teaches you there are certain people you should not keep company with and you should not hang out with? How many of you realize that? How many of you know that? And listen to me. If you hang around those people, they will bring grief to your life, they will bring turmoil to your life, and they will bring trouble to your soul. And it's better a lot of times to separate yourself from certain types of people and activities that people do and things, that you may choose your friends wisely, and I'm telling you, it'll save you a lot of heartache and a lot of problems in your life. And number eight, I'm going to skip scriptures on that, but there's all kinds of scriptures and Proverbs on it. Let me give you this one, Proverbs 12:26. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Don't choose wicked friends. You'll be just like them, and they'll lead you astray. Choose good friends, godly friends. Don't hang around with a drunk if you don't want to become a drunk. Don't hang around with a drug addict unless you want to become a drug addict. If you want to become a good Christian, hang around with good Christians. If you want to become morally pure, hang around people that's morally pure, not people that's not living right. It's pretty simple, and God's Word is so true, and it's really so simple. But you know what? We just think a lot of times, well, we know more than God does. Well, I'm telling you, go ahead down your path, and you'll see in the end, did God know the most or did I know the most? And I'm telling you right now, God knows more than we do. And we may think we got it together, and we may think we know what will make us happy and fulfill our lives, but if you're going it without Jesus, if you're doing it without truth and without God, it's going to lead you the wrong way. Commit to being diligent in every area of your life. Number 8, he who has a slack hand becomes poor. God doesn't have much use for lazy people. I got a couple amens. I said, God does not have much use for lazy people. Thank you. Go to the ant. Proverbs. Learn his ways. Who has no overseer or ruler, but he absolutely knows how to get the job done. Go learn. Go watch. From the ant, the Bible says. And we learn how to be diligent. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but the diligent man prizes his possessions. Let me just give you one illustration on diligence this morning. Last month was the annual Marlin tournament on the East Coast. There was a $1 million prize. One team pulled in an 883-pound blue marlin, almost 300 pounds more than their closest competition. But they lost the tournament and lost the $1 million because one man on the team had forgotten to renew his fishing license. How would you like to have been on that team but not been the man? Lack of diligence can really hurt us. And I close with this one this morning. Never let bitterness into your soul. In church, God really warned pastors and husbands not to be bitter. And I'm telling you, after 41 years in the ministry, one of the easiest things in the world to do is get bitter, to get hard, to get angry, to hold resentment. But I'm telling you, it'll destroy your life. It will ruin your life. The Bible says, be very careful that you walk in the grace of God in the book of Hebrews. Lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up within you and defile many around you. And you know usually who bitterness hurts the most? The people that you love the most and the people that you're close to. That's who gets it. Not the people that you're angry and bitter toward most generally, but it's other people. And I just encourage you this morning, don't allow unforgiveness. Don't allow hard-heartedness. Listen to me. You're going to be offended. You're going to be betrayed. You're going to be hurt. You're going to be rejected. You're going to be probably made fun of and talked about at times. We all go through these things. But don't become bitter. Because if you do, it'll get in your soul and it'll ruin relationships around you and it will absolutely destroy your life if you allow bitterness in your heart. It won't just stay there. It'll come out and it'll touch somebody else. I close with this example and story this morning. Cammy had cancer almost since birth. She fought it into remission and it reoccurred. She fought it numerous times in bouts with surgery, chemo, and radiation. But bitterness and resentment for her life never came into her soul. Here is what she wrote as a young woman. I know there are many who have pitied my beginnings, thinking it tragic that I had to endure such traumas both as a child and throughout my life. But I confess that I have rather pitied those who have never tasted the bitterness of trial too severe. For how is one to appreciate the contrast of light's dawning hope if his soul has never trembled through the dark hours of the nightmare's watch? Or how can one prove God's faithfulness if he never is granted the privilege of wandering through a barren desert where only pools of Christ's presence can possibly provide survival? It is a great honor to be a portion pain. Christ himself, though God incarnate, learned obedience through what he suffered. Dare we assume that we, as his children, can be taught by any wiser or kinder instructor than the severity of unwanted pain? We dare not steel ourselves against our trials, running away from the fires where our prune branches crumble to ashes. For if we escape those flames, we will risk barrenness of soul and will miss out on the beauty that only is born through the ashes of yesterday's grief. Can you say amen? Would you stand with me this morning?